If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
It's time for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill, presented as always by our friends over at the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. They're inviting you to join our local business leader community to get connected, stay informed, and drive progress. Go to their website, carolinachamber.org, if you want to learn more about the Chamber and Chamber membership. You know what that music means? It is Friday, and we are talking some Carborough news, joined in the studio by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. Lydia, welcome back. Happy Friday. How are you?
Good, good. Happy Friday to you also, Brighton. And man, what a pretty day it is.
Oh, it's so, so nice. I was just talking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger yesterday. I'm not sure if I've ever seen the trees this vibrant in our community. It has been a spectacular fall.
I agree. I mean, they're really, really vibrant. And you have a nice view here, by the way. But to me, it kind of seems a little later than usual. And, you know, that, I guess, plays into this long kind of warm fall we've had. But gosh, they are really exploding right now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great weather yesterday for all the Veterans Day ceremonies around the region. I know that we talked a little bit on the air about the Orange County one at the Veterans Memorial yesterday, but I know that Carborough also had an event. How did that go? Do you know?
Yeah, it went really well. We've done this several times since I've been mayor. You know, I always issue a proclamation recognizing, you know, Veterans Day, and then I've tried to always just kind of read it on the front steps of Town Hall, and then any employees who are veterans, if they're able to come, we like them to come, and we recognize them. And it's short and sweet. You know, we had the Pledge of Allegiance, and we had a few other council members there. You know, Damon Siles was there, and Susan Romain, and Randy Haven O'Donnell. She gave some remarks also, but I think it's just a real nice opportunity to pause and walk outside and be in beautiful weather and just hear that and really celebrate these folks who, you know, protect us and have served our country.
We heard a little bit of some comments from Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood. He was the keynote speaker at the memorial event yesterday. And he was saying, you know, Veterans Day just isn't celebrated like it used to be. And he had some good points of taking a moment, like as you just said, having a proclamation and making a concerted effort to recognize those town employees who are veterans. Goes a long way with how different our culture is now in general.
Totally, totally. And, you know, and part of what I said, and I always think of this every Veterans Day, you know, I think of members of my family that were in the military. I mean, you know, my dad, I this story just really is still so shocking. You know, he graduated from high school one day when he was 18, and the next day he and his buddies were on a train, you know, to go off to get ready to go into get trained for World War II, you know, and a lot of his friends did not make it back. And when you think about the sacrifices of folks like, you know, all generations, you know, I'm thinking particularly of him and, of course, my grandpa, Grandpa Lavelle, same thing, World War I fought. It's just, you know, they're not so far removed from our lifetimes. And certainly we have folks today that are keeping us safe as well.
Well, let's continue with another look at some stuff that happened around the town government earlier in the week. We had another Carborough Town Council meeting on Tuesday that seemed like it had a pretty full agenda. We ran a story recently about the Carborough Chapel Hill and UNC effort to try and find a joint bike share program, and that update sounded like this is progressing pretty quickly.
Yeah, this is a really exciting kind of joint project that we've had in the works for a while. Got a little delayed during the pandemic, but it's come back again. And we're almost to the point of issuing out the RFP. We were ironing out a few last details, you know, some of which is just kind of how to like, you know, set up the bike share, whether we do a fixed hub or a floating hub. And that just kind of means where you return them, kind of an accessibility. Also, just identifying different spots in at least our town where we want to make sure we have some of these hubs to make them available for folks that might need them. But it's really, yeah, it's really exciting. And so when people start to eventually see these popping up, that's where it's coming from. And a little discussion, too, about having some checked out or available by the new 203 project.
Yeah, also. That does not surprise me one bit. So there was that on the agenda that I know was one of the bigger items. What else was there that council members discussed?
Yeah, well, one of the other topics I wanted to bring up was we got a report from El Centro. You know, El Centro, of course, has an office, a building right in downtown Carborough on Weaver Street. And as part of that building, they have the Center for Employment and Leadership. And so they gave us a little report on that center. And And I love this statement. I just want to read you, Brighton. This is like their kind of mission statement of what the CEL does. The CEL provides a space to seek work with dignity, connect with employers, and participate in vocational training and community leadership development programs for workers, men and women from all ethnicities, in vulnerable job situations, migrants, refugees, day laborers, and people with no permanent work. And what they did was they gave us a little summary of, you know, what they've done the last couple of years in terms of addressing that mission statement. And they really, really do awesome work. You know, one thing I would just like to point out is, so anyone that seeks workers that can perform, you know, just kind of regular construction tasks, outdoor tasks, whatever, you know, you can go and ask for someone from this center. And most recently this summer, they created a building behind their building, a shed, if you will, but it contains all kinds of equipment that a lot of these folks need to go out and do their job. And so part of it, that's really added to the flexibility of these laborers that want to work to be able to check out equipment and take it on jobs. You know, additionally, they're still always looking for new employers to register, new workers to register. They've helped a lot of their folks that frequent El Centro attend like vocational training. They put on workshops. I mean, it's really such awesome work going on in our community, and I wanted to be sure to highlight it.
They are a powerhouse group. I mean, that's something that I learned pretty quickly as soon as I started covering this area, is that El Centro kind of has and is able to touch so many different areas of the community in so many different ways. And part of that is because we have a growing Latinx population, not just in Orange County, but really across the region and the state too, which is great to see. And it's great to know that there are such great resources as El Centro.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And particularly with regard to that statement I read, to really work with folks, you know, who might otherwise slip through the cracks, you know, migrants, refugees, day laborers, people that don't have permanent work but are willing to work. How do you connect them with jobs? How do you provide them with equipment so that they can work? And how do you do this in a way that can afford them dignity? And so, yeah, really, really awesome. And so, folks, if you're looking for people to perform different jobs or things like that, reach out to El Centro.
We're speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org, the place to go to find all the meeting materials from that town council meeting, to watch it back if you want to listen to that El Centro update and many of the other things town council members discussed. Also, earlier in the week, we had the Green Tract open houses, and we talked a little about this earlier in the week with Commissioner Renee Price about this, and it sounds like the open houses went pretty well, the one on Sunday in person and then the virtual one on Monday, where the governments are just trying to make sure that the community is informed and the community has a chance to give some feedback. So from your perspective, how did all of that go?
Yeah. I was not able to attend the in-person one on Sunday, which I think had more of the feel of an open house. You know, you wander around, you look at, you know, different kind of bits of information, you ask questions, there's no agenda, right? And I heard a little bit about some of what went on there. I attended the one on Monday virtually, which, you know, you can't wander around in that fashion as easily online, although I guess you could have with breakout groups maybe. But in any event, it took on more of a format of, even though there was some Q&A, it almost kind of started to turn into a public hearing. Like, people were starting to not ask questions about the current plan, but starting to kind of suggest other things should happen there and starting to lobby and so forth. And so it took on, I think, a different tact than we had intended, which was really, here's the plan the three jurisdictions have agreed to. We have an interlocal agreement that we have all signed. We have resolutions we have all passed, you know, kind of committing to putting X number of acres toward affordable housing, X number toward school, X number toward preservation on this location. And those are the resolutions that we're kind of updating on Tuesday. So nothing different than what every jurisdiction has already passed, but aligning it so we all have the same language, and also actually geographically adjusting the lines just a little bit, because Brighton, you know, the original green tract was about 100 acres. And then the Headwaters Preserve is about another 60, 65 acres. And so the entire tract now is about 165. And the thing is, the current plan still preserves 80 acres out there. I mean, it's one of the largest preserves in our community as it stands. And then, of course, the conversation centers around, you know, where on that land can we put affordable housing? And, you know, and then we're looking at the site to reserve for a school site, as they've asked us to do.
One of the questions that seems to be being asked is, well, you got these open houses and then all of the governments have it on their agendas for this upcoming week. Why the timing on this now as we're kind of getting closer and closer to the holiday break?
Yeah. Well, this, frankly, is kind of administrative. I mean, this adjustment of the geographic lines, we've been wanting to do this for some time. And so to just get that part done so then we're on the same page in January, so when the jurisdictions return, they can get to work about saying, okay, now what is that affordable housing going to look like? You know, how dense is it going to be? Where is it going to be? What type is it going to be? Who are we going to partner with? What's going to happen? So I think it's just simply, again, and this is nothing new. This is not something out of the blue. We've been working on this for dozens of years, but more specifically, this exact plan for 3 to 4 years. And if anyone wants to kind of look at the Rogers Road plan, the Mapping Our Community Future, you see that this is, you know, we've been working with the community all along for several years, and not just that community, but our community of affordable housing providers. And so it's not like suddenly sneaking something in. It's something that's just been along a timeline that we've been working on for many years.
Well, that coming up on the local government meetings for next week. But if you're looking for details on the Green Track project, if you happen to miss those open houses, they've got plenty of information on townofcarborough.org, but also the Town of Chapel Hill websites and the Orange County government websites. We're speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and we've got a couple of moments before we need to wrap up. Anything else happening around the Carborough community you want to flag for folks as we head into the weekend?
Yeah. Reminding folks that next Tuesday we'll have a council meeting, and then after that council meeting, the next week is Thanksgiving week, and so we don't have one that week, and then we don't have one the following week because it's the fifth Tuesday. So our meeting after next week, the next one will be our organizational meeting, which is in December when we'll be swearing in our new folks.
It's hard to believe we are already there.
Yeah, it kind of is hard to believe.
It's 22 is going to be quite an interesting year if 2021 has been any indication of things.
Yeah, hopefully continuing to get better and better.
Yes, fingers crossed. Well, again, townofcarborough.org, the place to go to find out anything about those town council meetings and many of the other things we've been chatting with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle about today. As always, Mayor Lavelle, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Brighton.